they started up. Let's go to a show where we're rocking all night. I got an army, wanna party with 30 extra guys from the dusk to dawn till our minds are gone. Hang out with hangovers and hit up a con. Houston, Texas, are you feeling the love from a giant rocket ship coming down from above? Well,
Space City Nerd.
Don't you know, well,
Space City Nerd.
That's right, we're the kings and the queens of the things that you deem absurd. Sing it with me, y'all.
Space City Nerd.
All right, nerdcore.
Got that.
Chip tune.
Got that.
Read the magazine to check out the podcast. Action figures.
Got that.
Board games.
Got that.
TV shows and video games. Yeah, we got that. Take flight on a broken satellite. All right.
Hello and welcome to the Space City Nerd podcast for the week of June 18, 2014. With me tonight is Sean and Ryan.
What's up?
Hey, if y'all are not familiar with Space City Nerd, Jesus is like Nick Fury and Sean is like Coulson and I'm Colby Smulders.
Oh, I want to be Dumb Dumb Duggan.
So last week we did not have a podcast due to technical difficulties happening, i.e. our guests like not being able to schedule with our guests because stuff. We will have our guests from last time soon back or whatever. This week we do have a really cool guest with a cool Kickstarter, local comic artist, Bruce Smalls, who does Transletown, which is a very cool family-friendly comic. But we'll get into that in a little bit. As we are recording this, we are on the eve of a new era, a new age, and something spectacular will come tomorrow at noon. Prepare the Steam Summer Sale.
What are you, Sean, where are you looking for to get on sale?
Man, I don't even know, because I already have, like, 200 games that I don't play.
You and me both, brother.
I might pull the trigger on something before the Steam sale, and that's a call center simulator.
You showed me that earlier, and I can't believe that's a game.
A call center simulator?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's only $2.99, so you know the sale doesn't really matter.
Let's get off your back.
If we're pointing out stuff that we might pull the trigger on, like I got my eye on this one game that's on sale right now for 99 cents. It's Tiny and Big, Grandpa's Leftovers. But it's an indie game, but that's that game where you have like the jetpack and the laser that cuts through everything in the level.
Awesome. The soundtrack is really good too. I was playing that for a while. So, it gets a little repetitive, but it's still really good.
But, like, it's literally like, oh, you see, like, a mountain in the distance, you can line up your laser, and it will cut the top off that mountain. And then it slides and falls down on you, and you die.
What? Scary to buy this game.
Or you can use it as a platform.
Yeah, well, that's kind of, like, the puzzle aspect of the game, is to strategically make your cuts.
Yeah. It's really fun.
I don't know. Maybe, hopefully, Rust goes on sale, so we can have some... online, running around the forest naked type of gaming nights.
I kind of want that and Payday. I want us to start, play some Payday and you know break into some banks.
Mm.
I think Friday night we should just spend it playing Steam Summer Sale games.
No, we're just gonna end up playing Cult of the Wind and Orion Dino Hunter.
Oh yeah, I was talking to Jen about that. We need to have like a night where we just play that. Because those two games are amazing.
I can't believe I passed the fuck out that night because I was super tired, so I totally missed it. Y'all play Cult of the Wind.
God.
Right now that we're mentioning these games, if you haven't seen them, Orion Dino Horde, it started off as this really, really crappy game. And then they revamped everything, and it turns out to have like it's an awesome humans versus dinosaur games, and you can play both sides. Even though like when you play the human side, it gets very strategic instead of just, you know, stomping around and crushing humans. I did not notice, but there are lightsabers you can actually use against dinosaurs.
What?
What?
Yeah. There's lightsabers in there.
Okay, we just scratched the surface of the game.
Yes, we did.
We are.
But it's a really, really fun multiplayer game. It's got basically like the Halo 2 mechanics of being able to fly around and things, or jump around. And it's got different weapons and powers that you can purchase, et cetera. And the graphics aren't that bad either.
Yeah.
No, they're not. They're not at all.
I'd say Halo as much as Tribes Assault.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Let's put on my PC cap here for a second.
that's why I enjoyed that. Go ahead.
Yeah. My favorite thing about it so far is that it made me 8 cents in my Steam wallet. Because we played, and I got two cards, and they were duplicates. And I sold that card for money. So, thank you, Ryan Dino.
And that one's that's from Spinal Game Studios, I believe. And the other one from North of Earth Games that we just played, that one was... I did not expect how fun it was, but it's called Cult of the Wind, and it's an arena shooter, capture the flag style. It's like, I think it's an early access right now. You can actually find that in an Indie Gala bundle if you can hurry up and get it right now for like $1. It's basically about people that think they're planes. And so you run around with your hands outstretched. You attack people with like the machine guns on the wings, and your character makes the machine gun noises. You have power-ups like bombs, where you launch yourself into the air, do your right click, and the guy will curl up and bomb the person underneath him.
Oh, I couldn't figure out how to do the bombs when I played.
Yeah, that's what you have to do, is you have to jump, and then as you're jumping, curl up, or press the right button, and he'll cannonball into the person.
Nice. So I didn't play this. So you're on. People think they're planes, but you're not flying. You're just running around with your arms out.
Yes, you can jump pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also certain power ups that you can get where you turn into a plane for like 10 seconds.
So do you actually turn into a plane? You become what you want to be.
Right.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Well, one of my kind of in-depth mechanics of it is that kind of like the faster that you're going, the more damage your bullets do. So if you're chasing after someone at full speed, you're doing like 10 times the damage. But if you're just standing still, like you do absolutely no damage. So it's kind of, you're always like kind of moving around, and you have to be like really quick to keep your momentum going. So you can get faster. Yeah.
Okay, well, I can't wait to play. I'm not going to play without you guys yet, but, I'm curious to see it.
There's only, three maps, right? Three or four?
Yeah, there's three maps, but I think we played those maps, like, over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it is a multiplayer game, but when we started ours, a lot of people just started coming in and joining, so it was really cool, too. I think we ended up, with this 3-on-3 game at, the height of the night. This is also, Friday night at 11 o'clock, so...
Heck, that could have been the developers themselves.
Someone's playing our game.
Hey, we had...
There's I don't know servers, guys.
I don't know about y'all, but I got the badge... I got the Steam achievement for playing with a developer or someone who played the developer for Orion Dino Horde.
Oh.
Which one is that one?
Hold on. I gotta find it, but I got that... I got that... Achievement Orion Dino Horde. Where is it? Here you go. And then see view all achievements. And then Spiral Buddy. Win a game with a developer or someone who already has this achievement. So
I don't know if I have that one. That's really awesome.
You have to have that one. We played at the same time.
But did you win? Did I win
on your
team?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Because we were. I also got the Spiral Troll where I killed a developer.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I was like, that's some pretty cool achievements for, 3 hours of playing that night.
I'm going to have to check, because I know I got, out of that, I ended up getting, achievements that, less than 1% of the people on Steam have.
Because they don't know the greatness of Orion Dino Horde.
They don't know how awesome it is to get that jetpack and just fly to the top.
The mountain, or mashed buttons on your teleporter end up somewhere you don't know.
Now, here's a question, you know, because we're spending all this time, we're talking about Cult of Wind, we're talking about Orion Dino Horde, and the Steam sale. Now, I mean, are we kind of getting into that, into a point where it's like, there are all these awesome, like, independent games that, you know, you can get via, like, Indiegala and Humble Bundle, like, year-round, that, like, how awesome does the Steam sale have to be now for people to, like, really, you know, drop money on this stuff? Because
yeah, I mean, I can see that, what you're saying and everything, but you'd never have, like, the you know, the AAA titles on sale or in these indie galas, except for, like, you know, once a year you'll have kind of like the Warner Brothers bundle,
mm-hmm.
where you had, like, all the Batman games for, like, right. $10.
Right.
You know? So you never get, like, I know people are banking, like, on Dark Souls, you know, Watch Dogs, on Wolfenstein.
Watch Dogs, I'm watching for that.
Yeah, just any big games that normally do not go on sale to go on. And, I mean, plus you'll have, like, you have more control of what you want instead of getting a bundle with, like, three games and you're like, whatever. You know? And then
an album. It's like buying an album back in the day before you can buy each song.
But to me, it's almost like I get a little more satisfaction of spending, you know, the $3 or $4 for Orion Dino Horde or, you know, Cult of Wind or whatever, because I know it goes straight to those guys. But when they, you know, cut the cost on Saints Row 4, it's kind of like, well, to like $10, I'm paying $10. Like, I don't, that $10 is just like everyone gets like a penny. So that's kind of what I'm looking at, you know, as far as like, you know, Humble Bundle stuff is like you get to see where it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I mean, but still, like, when you buy anything on the Steam sale, they still get money out of it, no matter what.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'm not disagreeing. They're both all amazing things.
So, as like, someone that that works in the video game retail industry, have you seen anyone gear up for the Steam sale?
Yes. Buy a bunch of cards? Really?
I had someone buy, they did some trades, they bought about $300 worth of Steam cards. So they're probably going to get some stuff for themselves and be gifting a whole bunch of games as well. I should have got a Steam ID, now that I think about it.
You should have gotten a what? Sorry.
His Steam ID.
Oh. Gift me stuff. You know.
It's like, hey, man, like, if you need someone else to play with you on, you know.
I do like giving some of my friends stuff, and I'm like, hey, that's a funny game that I have, and it's $2. Here you go, buddy.
Well, I think that's what we've been doing all year, like, with all these Humble Bundles we've been giving each other, like, so many games, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, like, I buy so many Humble Bundles, sometimes I forget if I bought them or not. I have to, like, go to my email and, like, do a search for Humble Bundle just to see if I have any email links.
You have a Humble Bundle account, right? If you have an account, they're all in your account when you log in.
Yeah, same thing with Indiegala.
So easy to find.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's always what kind of a noob I am. Because the other day I was sitting here looking through my computer. And I'm like, I know I bought Serious Sam 3 BFE, and I'm like looking through Steam, and I'm like, why am I not seeing it? And it's just like, oh, that's right, it was Humble Bundle. Like, it was from this other source that I got it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take our first break, and we will return shortly with our guest. Remember, rev up your Steam engines tomorrow, and we'll be right back with this.
Don't overspend!
That page to see what comes my way. Even tomorrow, I can still cash in on deals I missed today. How did I afford that? Now my library is full from day to Z. Purchased a 4-pack, I don't even have 3 friends to play with me. Man, I wish these games were free. Money.
single bundle I've got it. Now I got 99 games that I may never play. Every 8 hours, I put in my vote and hope that it can win. I still haven't showered, cause my game lost and I wait to vote again. Oh, what a crisis. All these games I bought on impulse thanks to Steam. Tried to play Crisis, but I still don't have a good enough machine. And it makes me wanna scream as I'm staring at the screen. How did I get into this crazy situation? And what the hell was I smoking on when I bought this train simulation? Steam summer sale, Steam rolled my wallet. Every flash deal I bought it. Now I got 3 games that'll be cool for my day. Steam summer sale, Steam rolled my wallet. Every single bundle I got it. Now I got 99 games that I may never play.
So that was Team Tempo, Steam Cell, Steam Roll, since we've been talking about the Steam Cell for the first couple of minutes. And you can find that at teamtempzero.bandcamp.com. It's a name your own price, but if you're entertained as we are, I'm more than likely going to throw a couple bucks at the guy.
That's a great song.
Yeah. So we're joined by Isaiah Broussard right now. He's the creator of Transletown and the owner of Brass Comics. Hello, Isaiah.
Hi there.
So you started up a Kickstarter about a week or so ago for the first graphic novel of Transletown. Before we go any further, could you kind of give us a rundown of what Transletown is?
Yeah, Transletown is the story of a young vampire boy named Timmy Tepes. He's been kind of sheltered his whole life and hasn't really experienced anything outside of his home. And he goes on his first hunting where he meets this young girl named Alicia, who turns out to be a vampire slayer, or a monster slayer in general. And then they become best friends and start to go on wild, kind of spooky adventures with each other.
That's really cool. And how long have you been doing this, like the webcomic?
I've been doing the webcomic since 2010. Yeah, July of 2010. So it's going on its fourth birthday now.
Oh, wow. That's really nice. Cool. And is it like a weekly or monthly installment?
It's a weekly web strip. So I update a page a week. It's a bunch of like ongoing story arcs that are kind of built for you to be able to jump in at any time. But really, it's best to kind of start at the beginning of an episode.
Oh, that's neat. So, and then the first graphic novel, how long is that going to encompass? Like, how much of a time period?
That's going to be the first two story arcs of Transletown. So it's going to be he's going to meet a few of his friends that become mainstay characters throughout the rest of the series within those first two episodes of the story.
I was looking at some of the designs for your characters. I really, really, really like them. Does inspiration on them, anybody like come from like real life friends or anything?
I wouldn't really say not anybody that I know in particular in real life. I usually come to the board with some kind of idea that I'm trying to convey. Like for Timmy, I was going for something that felt kind of like a modernized Victorian boy who would probably be in a private school somewhere. And then with Alicia, just making her look cute and badass at the same time. There's been some characters where I've taken some inspiration from like real life people, like one of the vampires, Alpha. His initial design was based off of Lil Wayne, and then his crewmate Gamma is and I'm drawing a blank on the guy's name. I think it's P Thug from Chromeo.
Oh, that's really awesome. Yeah, the bigger guy from Chromeo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big thing. So, in like doing the graphic novel, why did you choose to go through Kickstarter? You know, what like obstacles did you face in doing this by yourself?
A lot of it comes down to having the you know, monetary resources when you're on your own. You know, I work a day job and I do a whole bunch of conventions and whatnot to sell my artwork at, but all of that becomes really expensive because you have to pay for travel and you have to pay for the table itself. And as an independent cartoonist, that's kind of a lot of overhead on top of that really being the only venue to really sell at until you become like internet famous. And part of the main problems I've been having in the past is that I've been printing out the single issues of Chanteltown, but you know, those will cost me an arm and a leg just to print. And then after convention cost and travel cost, I've basically lost money selling a single issue instead of really making anything. And so Kickstarter provided me a better alternative to take some of that risk out of my hands by, you know, bringing it out to the people and rewarding people for helping me out and being able to produce this project.
I, you know, as someone that produces a zine, I feel most of what you just said. So. And I know this is like a very family friendly project as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk a little bit and go a little bit more into your, I don't want to say your darker side, but the crackers and white wine.
Yeah, that, I guess that would be my darker side. Crackers and White Wine is kind of just like this raw, very sometimes angry comic that I write that's kind of a gag a week kind of thing that's very targeted towards ignorance and outlining just how ridiculous ignorance really is.
And I've read a bunch of them and they're pretty entertaining, or the ones that you've posted on Facebook. Are you going to continue that as, you know, the same as you continue Chanteltown?
Yeah, that one's also going to be a weekly update thing, and that can be read over at mytalkinghead.com, which is a website done by a good friend of mine named Jeremy the Artist. He's a really fantastic dude and does really great work, and he's got a bunch of his own comics that he's hosting on that site as well.
Yeah, and there's another project that's like it's a character that you've drawn that's one of my favorite. He's Bootsy Collins inspired.
Yeah, that's a space adventure that I'm going to write eventually called The Funktastic Adventures of Maurice Love. It was actually something I was going to jump on fairly quickly after the Chanteltown Kickstarter concluded, but I kind of signed on for a project that I probably can't talk about right now, so I'm going to have to put that one on hold for a bit. And I may be able to produce at least some pages on it at the same time as this other project. But meantime, that's kind of on the back burner.
So one of the other obstacles that you didn't mention is you're so busy with all these projects as well, you know?
Yeah, like I like to stay busy, and I've got a bunch of ideas in my head, and I just kind of like to let them out and share them with people. And it can be a bit of a challenge because you know, you only have a finite amount of time that you can devote on several things, which Crackers and White Wine has been fairly easy because it's meant to be raw and not the best looking thing that I draw. And so I can fit it in my schedule with working on Chanteltown and doing the rest of the work, like commissions and the day job kind of stuff. I have some more ambitious projects that I want to get started on, and it's just a matter of, you know, freeing myself up to being able to do them.
So between like all these things that you do, because I know you're like at a convention almost every weekend, what are some stuff that Isaiah likes to do aside from like arting?
Well, one of the things I want to mention is that I'm probably actually going to be slowing down my convention schedule just so I can art more. But some of the other things I like to do is I love music. I like to play the bass guitar, and I mostly, since I've become a cartoons. I haven't really touched it nearly as much, but it's something that I used to have a lot of fun doing, going to open mics and playing with friends and stuff like that. And then, you know, I like to play video games like just about everybody else. So a good fighting game is something that's always really fun to me.
What's your favorite fighting game?
My favorite? Man, that's a tough question.
Because if you don't say Dive Kick, you're off the show. I'm kidding.
Well, Dive Kick is awesome. but I mean, like, favorite, I can tell you a favorite franchise, but I don't know if I can say a favorite game. King of Fighters, man. That shit's so stylish. Yeah, like it's stylish and it's fast. Well, you know, I'm not even that great at King of Fighters. Like, I love the easier ones, like 03 and 11. But since 13 came out, I was like, oh man, this is so technical. I can't really hang, but it's so cool. But I can't do it.
Who's your team?
On 13, I've been playing around with Kenzo, Kyo, and Elizabeth, and sometimes Benimaru. Benimaru is usually a mainstay of mine. Like, I've loved him since I've jumped into King of Fighters. He's an awesome dude. But, you know, I'm a fan of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, so that kind of, like, androgynous cool guy is really my cup of tea.
And Benimaru has some awesome abs, by the way.
You got him, flaunt him, right?
Yep.
So I have a question, like, because of Maurice Love's styling, you know, kind of looking like Bootsy Collins, and the fact that you put, you know, a character inspired by P-Thug, does that say anything about you playing bass?
Probably. I know I had one idea a long time ago of doing some weird fairy tale type thing where a bunch of characters were going to be named after bassist. But I don't know. I like the way that those guys look. So that's kind of how they became the inspiration for those characters in particular. I mean, there's a character I designed recently who was very influenced by, God, what's that lady's name? Super Bass Lady.
Nicki Minaj?
Nicki Minaj, yeah. I don't even particularly like her music, but I love her style. And it's like, I gotta draw something like that. And so, you know, those are really iconic people. Like, you look at you'll get people like Questlove or P-Thug or Bootsy Collins, and it's like there's nobody else who looks like them. They've got this really fun thing going on.
Exactly. So, well, what is your website?
My website is brasscomics.com. There's a handful of comics there. My current ongoing series is Transyltown, but I also did a short story on there called Enchantment Passing Through, which was actually the first webcomic that I did. And then I used to co-write a project with my associate co-founder of Brass Comics, Zach Q. We did a book called Biorhythm, and that's also there on the site, as well as this current story, Meraki.
No, I'm gonna transgress, because I've been Facebook stalking you for, like, while we've been talking and everything. And I forgot something that always stuck out, you know, to me. You have an amazing, like, series of Wonder Women. I know this isn't a visual podcast, but you have a Muslim Wonder Woman and an African Wonder Woman, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything coming up, like, aside from those? Like, are you going to keep going with them?
I'm going to keep going with them. It's you know, it's one of those things where the challenge of all the projects that I'm on, and you know, I really prefer doing sequential things, so it's a really, really hard for me to frequently do just an, you know, a series of just illustrations. But I do have some more ones planned. Definitely going to be doing a Hispanic one, and maybe an Asian one. I just haven't decided on which culture yet. And I was thinking a really fun thing to do would be an American version, but instead of Wonder Woman, it would be like the Wonder Girl Scouts of America.
Oh, and no, like Wonder Dixie, and have her like in like short. Never mind.
Well, I mean, that was done a lot, and plus I'm a Teen Titans fan, so like I gotta throw some love for Wonder Girl in there too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks very much for, you know, getting on the show with us and everything. Remember, you can find Isaiah at brasscomics.com, and you can also search Kickstarter for Transyltown Volume 1. He's got some really nifty rewards, including original art and stuff. And you can get a book that you can share with your kids and family as well as entertain yourself with. I know you're a big fan of JoJo's, so yeah. We're going to take our second break with the theme song for season 2 of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and we'll stick around for the closing.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Stand up, stand up, stand up, touch it.
So that was the opening to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Season 2. Yeah, we're going to close out the show now with a couple of things. Let's talk about the World Cup.
I can't believe Spain, the last winner of the World Cup, got kicked out so horribly.
Soccer.
My money is on Katniss. Because with the World Cup in Brazil, it really is the Hunger Games.
I saw this cartoon. I don't know if it's a political cartoon or what. Anyway, it was a hungry kid, and he had a fork and a knife, and he was sitting at a table hungry, and all there is in the plate was a soccer ball.
Maybe he was just hungry for the championship.
I you can read it like that. I didn't.
Well, I'm Hispanic, so you know. I'm very close-minded when it comes to like anything with the soccer ball.
Yeah, but you can, you know, you're not Brazilian, so you can trash on Brazil, right?
No, they're brown like me.
No, you have like this whole other realm of different, you know.
Well, no, I mean,
to
be fair, as a Mexican, I'm allowed to talk trash about them because they're in the same group as Mexico is.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, I fall into that category of like, I'm Mexican American and I cheer for like another country.
I mean, it's just like the same way, like I can make Italian jokes and Polish jokes.
Well, the Philippines is not in the World Cup, so what am I going to do?
Ryan has a horse in this race.
You got the U.S.
No, I got the U.S. I am a U.S. citizen, so. Go America.
Well, they're actually birth certificate. Oh, God. I apologize.
So, upcoming events, we have... What do we have? Saturday night, we'll be at Warlocks' event. They have that deathmatch video game tournament. It is $20 to get in, and you get some free beer from them. And then you also have a chance to... Yeah, it's very good. You have a chance to play some games. I think it's like a $5 entry for cash prizes and such. And we will also be... Oh, the weekend after, on the 27th, Dim Dam Dames will be doing their Hollywood or Vegas show at Numbers. If you went to the video game thing, check your email. They were nice enough to send out coupons for $5 off tickets. If not, whatever.
So they're doing it at Numbers, right?
Correct.
But there's like VIP seating. Like, where are there even tables at Numbers?
They're gonna put them up. Same thing as Walters, remember?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. I have no imagination, so.
Imagination.
Like, where do tables come from, Hazel? Where do tables go?
And in July, they have Coastal Mania going down in Galveston, which is, you're a fan of wrestling, you need to get down. People like Razor Ramon, McFoley, I think Jake the Snake is going.
Wait, Jake the Snake?
I'm not sure.
I'm in Dallas. I'll pull it up right now
while we wonder. Let's wonder for a little bit.
Coastal Mania.
It's like you know, I haven't watched wrestling in a while, but man, I know Razor Ramon, and I know Mick Foley, I know Jake the Snake.
Tommy Dreamer, Razor Ramon, Mick Foley, X-Pac, Bruce Pritchard, Brother Love, Ron Simmons, Carlito, Rikishi, Scott Norton, Bushwhacker Luke, April Hunter, The Nasty Boys, Kevin Von Erich, Victoria, SoCal Val, Paul London, ODB, MVP. Damn, it just keeps going and going. AJ Styles.
I wonder if anybody asked Rikishi like to sit on them at like these conventions.
That would be an honor, sir. It'd be an honor. Like,
please sit on me, Rikishi.
Maybe if you had a dime bag.
And then after that, actually next month, the month of July, we'll be gearing up for the Houston Con, which I'm really excited because they're having Brad Hawkins there, who played some of the people in the suits in VR Troopers.
VR Troopers.
And also Al Garza, who we've had at one of the Nerd Wars, is going to be there. That dude parties hard and can't wait to party hard again with him. And then from then on, also, our game jam is happening. And because our game jam ties into Extra Life, we'll be starting up our Extra Life campaign. We really, really want to get like some awesome numbers on there to help kids. And after that, who knows what the future holds.
I can't remember right now what we made last year, but I want to see if we can double or triple it this year.
I think we were at 600 last year.
Okay, then we can triple it. Let's make $2,000. No, let's round up. Let's make $2,000. Let's make that our goal.
You need to put, okay, since you're like stating this, you need to put something on the line.
All right.
Like if we hit $2,000, what are you going to do?
Let me think about it. We'll come back to me next show, and I'll have something.
Well, I think it should be something. If we don't hit $2,000, what do we get to do to Ryan?
All right, so we'll both think. Well, Sean and I will plan, and then you plan on what happens.
All right. Oh my God! Please make us $2,000. Yeah, we'll figure out something by next show.
So we'll close it off with that, and we'll begin the pondering. We'll see you guys next week, hopefully, and have a good night.
Peace out.